you would turn with me to Romans 15 and put your finger there, and also if you would go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and then just kind of put your finger there. We're going to begin looking at the Advent season as we prepare our heart. I believe God is already beginning to move upon our hearts and prepare ourselves for that. As I was sitting there, as a question I had to ask myself and ask you this morning is, as we prepare for the Christmas season, so to speak, the Advent, the 4 weeks leading up to the Christmas, what do you want to see happen? What do you want to accomplish? Is it getting all the names on the list, presents, and that alone? Are you looking to just fellowship with family? Are you trying to do all of those things, but in the midst of that, is there a hunger for God? For God to do something amazing. As the shepherds were doing their work and going through their lives, you know, the Lord appeared and then ministers to them. So it should be a celebration. It should be a time that we thank the Lord for things that he's already done and coming to this earth and wanting to redeem mankind, doing something that we can't in ourselves do. If I had to put a title on, I am titling it Christmas Brings. Christmas brings hope. Christmas brings love. Christmas brings joy. Christmas brings peace. How many would be a better person if in 4 weeks God could bring you more hope, more love, more joy, and more peace? Wouldn't we be better? I mean, if the world is looking for that, and we go through the motions, and yet sometimes we miss it. We light a candle of hope. We talk about hope. Really, this morning, is that what you want to accomplish? So as we just go to prayer here this morning for God's word what he wants to say to us, that's my prayer, that in these weeks to come that God would give me all of those things, love, joy, peace, contentment in where he has me, has us, has your families, and what God wants to do. So would you bow your head with me? Father, we ask as we go to this Advent season that you would prepare our hearts. And we know there's all kinds of things that need to take place, and they're good things, and they're positive things, and they're things that we need as we share with our families and we exchange gifts and as we fellowship together. But Lord God, if that's the only reason, then we're going to miss the eternal God-sent hope, love, joy, and peace. Father, help us for that this morning, to see it in your word, to see it in our lives, to see it in the life of the church, to see it in every aspect, Lord God. And we give you honor, we give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the word hope appears in the New Testament 52 times. So I think God has something to say to us about hope. And you know, the hope that's referenced there is always the hope that's tied to Christ, what Christ did and how he wants to work in our lives. And you know, hope brings hope. Say amen to that. Once you get a little bit of hope, there's a little more hope to make you want to keep moving on and moving forward. And in Romans 15, 13, I love this verse. I wish I could live this verse 24/7. I wish every time that I had a discouraging moment or things didn't go the way that I wanted them, I wish this verse would just grab a hold of my heart at the time that I needed to and always bring me through this. That verse says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good stuff? I mean, if every time we were in the jam, so to speak, God would fill us to overflowing with his joy and his peace to the point that we're overflowing, that would be some good stuff. That would allow us to just experience God in a fresh way, in a new way. And then I looked at the church is the most powerful gathering of people in the world. Can you say amen to that? It's the most powerful gathering of people. You know, you look at one congregation and you think not so much. But you look when you think about at 10:45 or 10:30 or 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever service times different people have, that people are coming together, the church is the most powerful gathering of people, yet we live far below where God wants us to be. Can you say amen to that? We live far below where God wants us to be. We live as if God's power is not sufficient. And we don't take the authority that we're supposed to have as the church to go out into a community and show them the hope of Christ, to show them that there's a better way, to show them that what they're going through is not the final thing, is not the end result that they need to live out. And God intended the church to be that powerful force for good, to minister to hearts and to minister to life and to come into contact with those that he brings in front of us. The Apostle Paul makes an appeal for the church to be one. And why we can't be the powerful force that we're supposed to be is because we're not in unity. We're not operating in the authority that Christ gave us. If that was the case, there wouldn't be a gazillion different denominations. There wouldn't be, you know, splits. There wouldn't be fights. There wouldn't be arguments over. But Paul makes this statement that the church should be in unity, focusing on the hope of Christ, showing people the hope of Christ. And you know, the strong in Christ are there. The weaker in Christ are there. But we still should be one. We still should be lifting each other up. We still should be a part of each other's lives. Christ came as a Jew, but wanted to unite that it wasn't only about Jews, wanted to include the Gentiles, wanted to include that all were to receive this hope, all were to receive what he has for us, and that Christ came to save all people. And the church has got to be inclusive. Not that we change our rules, not that we water anything down, but we need to be inclusive to not be afraid to go share that hope. Not to be able to go in some of the dark places at times and not leave it only to missionaries and to share that love of Christ, to share that plan of salvation, to share that glimmer of hope that Christ gives us at those moments that we need him. We, you know, like I said, we don't have to change God's word. We don't water it down and accept everything. God does lay out some groundwork, but this world is hopeless without Jesus. This world needs Jesus. Because the world doesn't have the joy of the Lord that we're talking about, they can't experience and know God the way that God wants them to. Because the world has not got the peace that only comes from God, the world can't experience the peace of God in a powerful way to be able to accomplish the things that he wants to in their lives. The world today has no idea the power of God because the church, universal, doesn't take the authority to show them what's available in God. Because if we did operate in the authority of God, we would see people saved. We would see people's lives changed. We would see God do more healings than what is available now. It's not that God can't. It's not that he doesn't have the power to be able to do that, but the very three ingredients that allow a child of God to experience those wonderful things is love, joy, peace. And the world is looking, but we're not offering. Or we're not offering as well as we should be. See, hope in the Bible does not include, I hope everything's okay. I hope I find a mate. I hope my electric bill is paid. I hope this or that. It's not about that. Hope in the Bible is about eternal hope, is about being filled with the joy of the Lord, experiencing the peace of God, experiencing God doing fresh and new things in our lives. And some people live their whole lives, and the sad part is it even in the church, some people live their whole lives never experiencing the hope that God wants them to have. They're blinded. They're blinded by the world's circumstances and the troubles, and they see no way out. They're misguided and led by the fact that they always must do something, and instead of allowing God sometimes to just allow them to receive what God has for them. And that baby in the manger can change a life. But sometimes we don't let him. Say amen to that. We don't let him. We know the story. We know why he's come. We know what he did after he came. And yet we never look at it, because somehow we always see Jesus either as the baby in the manger, or we see him just as the person that died on the cross for us. We never see that the two had to come together. God Almighty had to come, and God Almighty had to die on the cross for us and be resurrected so that we can experience the joys of the Lord. And you take Christ out of Christmas, and you just got chaos Christmas buying. You just got more things to do and more stress to put on our lives. And in a word, this exiled Jew, God calls and says, "For I know the plans I have for you. For I know the plans that I have you," declares the Lord. "Plans to what? Prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope. And plans to give you a future." See, not only does God say that we have hope, but he says he is the hope. He not only does he say that he has plans for our right now, but he says, "I have plans for your future." So don't just go by what's going on right now. Go by what he wants down the road for you, what he has for you. Know that he has all of these things. Not only will he be there right now, but he promises he'll be there in a future, that he won't leave us or forsake us. No believer is without hope if the power of God is working in their life. Say amen to that. There's not a believer that should be sitting here this morning that doesn't experience that hope and doesn't experience and understand that if God's power is working in our lives, we're not without hope. No situation is hopeless as long as the grace of God is still flowing from heaven. Amen? And see these things happen. This world has changed. And a lot of it, and not in a good way. And what I mean by that, we're no longer Leave It to Beaver. Some of you laugh and some of you are going, "But like, what does that mean?" Because you never heard it. Unless you saw that reruns on MeTV or whatever it is now, and you saw that 50s sitcom of Leave It to Beaver family, you have no idea what that means. But we don't live there anymore. We don't live in that world anymore, and it will never happen again unless God really gets a hold of people's hearts. And, you know, the war on terror was always over there. And now I'm just speaking me for a minute. It was always over there, because if you saw it on TV, it was always in some foreign third world country that was experienced terrorism, was experiencing the bombings, but right now we're seeing it right here. We're seeing it right here in the U.S. And 9/11 changed change the United States, change the way we operate, change the way we think, and some good, some bad. But you just don't go to a ball game anymore. You just don't walk into a courthouse. You just don't walk into any kind of big public building anymore. You don't definitely walk into a government building anymore. You get checked through. You don't walk through, you get checked through. Everything seemed to change. Y2K, we said that before, that in 2000 they thought everything was just going to collapse. And some pulled their money out, which made the market go crazy, because they just figured that come January 1st, 2000, that this was going to crash, and that whatever money you had was going to be gone, and you were going to pull it out and put it under a sock and put it under the bed and do whatever you need to. And some went the opposite way. It shows us where our heart is at, because some even went the opposite way. Well, as long as this is going to crash, why don't I get a few extra cards? And why don't I buy all of this and that? Because if it's going to crash, nobody's going to have to pay it back. Did they have an awakening January 1st, 2000, huh? Uh-oh. This didn't go the way I had planned. But do you see what I'm saying? Each person has to put their faith in something. Whether you are going to say, you know what, God, it's all yours, and what little bit of money I have, I'm going to trust you, and it's not going to rely on everything that a bank does or doesn't do or what the market's going to do. See, hope is like oxygen. Everybody needs it. And if you don't believe me, just ask somebody that's depressed. Just ask somebody that struggled for a while. Just ask him what they really want. And paraphrasing, they're going to tell you, I want hope. I want my circumstance to change. I want to see God do something different. That's what I'm fighting for, is for God to do something else. God offers hope, and it begins with a relationship with Christ. It begins in that baby in the manger and ends with Christ going to the cross. But we get so wrapped up sometimes, and we miss out. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So it tells us that sometimes we go through these things so that we can be a little stronger, so that we can help someone else going through that, so that we might experience and we might have hope, so that the scriptures can be encouraging us. The scriptures can help us endure the things that we need to go through, that everything God tells us, written ahead of time for us in his word, is to be a positive, is to offer us hope, is to keep us on track. I know many of you have broken hearts, things going on, depressed, lonely, needing answers from God. And I hear the stories of work nightmares and issues that are beyond your control. All I can do is bring you back to the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that this morning? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is an example. Jesus is our security. Jesus is our hope. He is more than enough in every area of our life. Jesus Christ, the one who came to this earth so that we might have what? I'm drilling it home today, folks. Hope. We need his presence. Do you understand me? Whether there's 50 or 100 or 200 or how many of us gathered here, we need his presence. We need his workings in our life. He needs us to be open and ready to respond to what he has for us. His hope is there for us to hold on to, Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord. And them is a whole lot of things. Don't be afraid of them. Every one of us has one of thems that keeps us afraid, that keeps us from being strong and courageous. Each one of us, do not be afraid or terrified because of them, whatever them is. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 125, 1 and 2, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Can you say amen? That's good stuff. Luke 2:15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. You know what our problem is sometimes? We don't go see what's happening. We don't go see what God's doing. We don't trust him to accomplish all that he wants to accomplish. Let's look at 1 Peter here. Starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We have this new birth, and we have this living hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Because that baby came and was resurrected from the dead, we have a chance for redemption. We have a hope that is eternal and not based upon what is happening right now. Say amen. That, how can we have hope when everything seems to be around us hopeless? Because we're not putting our hope in what's around us. We're putting our hope in the eternal God. We're putting our hope and we're relying on God's presence. We're relying on God's provision and we're relying on God's power to see us through. How can we go wrong? If God be for us, who can be against us? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I love that verse. Because when I'm wore out, God says, I got you. My grace is sufficient, and I do my best work when you're in your weakness point. Maybe some of you this morning are hearing voices that are just saying to quit, give up, let go. I'm telling you this morning, don't stop. When you're weak, he's strong. Remember, the greater the attack against you, the greater Christ can be in you. To see you through these things, to allow you to have the strength of the Lord. For the Christians to whom Apostle Peter is talking there, they had lost hope, and he's telling them, get your eyes on me. I'm the hope. They were facing persecution. They were facing a Roman government that was coming against them. They were fleeing for their lives. They were ripped from their homes. They were seeking hope. And all the time, Jesus was pointing them back to him. Peter knows the source of the hope in the midst of his difficulty, and he's trying to express to them to keep their focus on God and the assurance that he's going to be there with them. Somebody say amen to that. This is for somebody this morning. Maybe I'm hoping a bunch of somebody's. I told you before that I'm an application pastor. I can't change that That is the way I'm geared. And not only do I want you to hear the word, I want you to apply the word. I want to see God doing something in your life. But then also you got to be a topical pastor, to be relevant, to show what's going on in the today and how that affects and where that lines up with God's word. And I understand that. But sometimes you also need to be a narrative pastor. And that is, let the text say what it's going to say. And that's this morning's text. That is where this is. Let it say what it's going to say. It's talking about the hope. This is the hope of God. Not I'm hoping this and I'm doing this so that I can do this or that. It's hoping in Christ. And my closing thought is this: what has happened to the church? What has happened to the church? We ought to be. And I'm talking church universal. We ought to be at Christmas time banging on doors. At Christmas time, we ought to be sharing people's faith of what God is doing. You know, in America, we're not even a blip on the screen compared to evangelism around the world. Because we're so distracted. Because we have so many things. It's not that God's not doing things in America. He wants to. We're the best and most blessed nation in the world, I believe. And we miss it when it comes to evangelizing. We don't feel the urgency to tell people of the consequences of sin. We don't want to share our experiences and the things that God did. We live like the Holy Spirit doesn't want to empower us anymore. And we miss out. We treat good news like it's a suggestion. And we miss it. God, give me a chance if you feel like it. God, I might have a few minutes for you 18 Sundays from now unless something changes. You know, I read this, and I didn't see this bumper sticker, but one preacher talks about this bumper sticker that aggravated him. And I'm sitting there thinking, like I said, I've never seen this bumper sticker, but after reading it, it would aggravate me too. And I want to share this. It goes like this, and this is what aggravated this preacher when he saw it. Give God a chance, for he died for the opportunity. Now think about it. Give God a chance, for he died for an opportunity. That sounds good at first, don't it? But stop and think about what it's saying there. Give God a chance. Give God a chance. Like it's, if we're going to take the text that it really says, really give God a chance. And does God need a chance, or does God want to give you a chance? God wants to give you an opportunity. The more I think about it, the more it did aggravate me. Because the more I think about it, the more it showed me the attitude of the world. What can you do for me, God? As if God didn't do enough for us. Yeah, God, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you a chance. The church today has to be more aggressive, has to respond to the message of the good news. The church today has to be more like the book of Acts that was willing to share the hope that was within them. Church today has to be willing today to go to the highways and the byways and to share their faith. They have to be willing to go to the hard places. And then Christ says, I'm your hope. And you're going to go to people and you're going to share my hope. And you're going to experience my blessings, my power, my anointing. The hope of Christian, the hope of Christ that saves us is also available to others, and we have to share it. Let me finish by reading this text, and we're going to close it, part of the verse. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, Now think about this as I'm reading it. Second time around, I want you to get this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor as Christ is revealed. Somebody say amen. That should be our lives. That's why I said this morning that in the midst of going to prayer and we have our prayer request, that sometimes on our lips ought to begin with praise. That ought to be able to show people the hope that is within us. God's word says that we should be ready to share our faith at any moment. Share what God's done. The great hope that's within us. So that's my challenge for you as we go through these 4 weeks of Advent leading up and people are open. Share with them what God's done. Share the hope that is within you and watch God do some amazing things. Amen? Father, we thank you for our time together. We ask, Lord Jesus, as we did, we begin this Advent season, first of all, we need to stay focused. Help us to stay focused. And Lord God, that we just not get so distracted and blinded by circumstances and situations, but we want to see and we seek after you to be able to see the things that you're doing in our lives and the things that you want to do in our lives. That, Lord God, may we be an example to someone of the hope that's within us. May we take time to share with someone that we come in contact with. May we be sensitive to generosity. May we be sensitive to sharing a word. May we be sensitive to just being nice and taking time to reflect Christ in someone's life, and that you would get honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.